Whenever I go through some tough times, brokenness, pain, illnesses are never easy. Those are the times when we must return to our past experiences with God. Those are the times where we have to go back where we have encountered the living God. The God who forgave me in the past will forgive me again. The God who blessed me in the past, He will bless me again.
Up next on Leading the Way. It's human to have questions. Why are we here? What is our purpose in life? Why does suffering exist? If God is so good, why do bad things happen? Have you found yourself asking those questions? When tragedy strikes and good people are beaten down, we are tempted to wonder if God really is in control. In his book, If God is in Control, Why Is My Life Such a Mess? Dr. Yusuf explains God's sovereignty. No matter how wicked or dangerous or victorious the world around us may seem. In the midst of the struggles and challenges that we all face, be encouraged with this practical and enlightening book and gain a better understanding of God's compassion for the spiritually exhausted. For your gift of any amount, Leading the Way will send you a copy of If God is in Control, Why is My Life Such a Mess? Visit us online today at ltw.org.
In the last message, we left Jacob where his father Isaac finally obeyed God and obeyed the will of God and blessed him, truly blessed him, and then sent him on his way to Haran. Jacob now has gone far away from home, from the comfort of home, from the peace at home, from the security of home. But he never got away from the watchful eye of the Heavenly Father. In my heart of hearts, having told you that Jacob was a homebod in the previous messages, I think he is not prepared for this journey. He is not ready to be all alone when he is a homebod and stayed home most of the time, not like his brother Esau, who was wild and always loved the hunting and the fishing and all the wild open road. He goes in there, and he goes for a 500 miles walking. They walked back then. He was not prepared for this aloneness time in the wilderness and in the desert. This is the edge of the desert. This is where Gaza Strip is, where Beersheba is, and he's going all the way through modern Israel, all the way to Iraq. There's no doubt in my mind, at least, that at that moment, Jacob's heart was filled with fear and anxiety. His mind was filled with worry and apprehension. He's asking himself probably over and over again, will I see mom and dad again? Would my brother Esau ever catch up with me? Would I ever get home again? You see that actually in his own words. In a minute, I'll show you. And he's probably questioning in his mind, was all that stuff of deceiving my dad and getting the blessing, was it all worth it to be here alone in this desert? This episode in the series of messages, Fear Deceives, Grace Sets Us Free. You find Jacob 500 miles journey, walking on the edge of the desert. This is probably his second night. So already walked 2 days. And this is about his second night on his way to his uncle's Laban's house in the land of Haran. And he comes in that town of Bethel. And that's why I'm guessing it's 2 days, because that's about the length of time if you walk. That town used to be called Luz before Abraham, the grandfather of Jacob, had gone in there and built an altar to the Lord And he called and changed the name of the area from Luz to Bethel. Bethel, the house of God. Three things that I hope you'll always remember. Always remember. When you find yourself in Bethel, all alone, three things. Rejoice, respond, and remember. Rejoice, respond, and remember. Let's say them together. Rejoice, respond, and remember. Rejoice when you find yourself in Bethel. Rejoice when you find yourself in those circumstances. Respond immediately to your Bethel experience. And finally, remember to return back to learn from your old Bethel places. Rejoice when you are in your Bethel. All Bethels in our lives are all different from one to the other. Whatever your Bethel may be, is the only place where God can get your attention. Often Bethel is the only place we're not distracted with stuff, you know, stuff of this world. Often Bethel is the only place where you are ready to hear God. And therefore, while it is painful, and nobody ever can deny that, there is a silver lining. And therefore, rejoice. Hear me right, please. If you only see your Bethel as a place from which you want to jump and you want to run away, you're going to miss out on a blessing. But if you see it as an opportunity to have an encounter, fresh encounter with the living God, then you will see heaven itself in the middle of your Bethel. Why do I say this? Because for most of us, if not all of us, all we can think of immediately, God, get me out of this. How fast can I get out of this? How can I shorten my Bethel experience? How fast can I run? How quickly can God remove me from this pain, loneliness, sorrow, and grief, and crushing experience? I know what I'm talking about. Been there, done that, and I do have the T-shirt to prove it. But often in my Bethels, I discover that there are dreams and visions that can only be found in Bethel. There are unique blessings that God can give you, and they can only be found in Bethel. Whatever your Bethel may be, there are messages that God can only communicate to you when you are in your Bethel, that there are manifestations of God that He wants you to receive only when I'm in my Bethel. There are some glorious lessons that can only be learned when you are in your Bethel. There are truths that God wants us to grasp, but only when we are in Bethel. Why? Good question. Why? Because only in Bethel that we go through, we find ourselves not operating in our own strength, not filled with our own schemes and plans and ideas, not filled with pride of success. And oh, what a dream God gave Jacob. Oh, what a dream. A stairway to heaven. A stairway to heaven. Question, how many of us who are so blessed of God, we find ourselves preoccupied? Preoccupation is another word for worship, because whatever it is occupying your time and your attention and your effort and your money and your resources, that's object of your worship. How many of us find ourselves more preoccupied with God's blessings than with Him, the blesser? And that is why God has to take us into brokenness and aloneness. And being alone in Bethel. And here, God is reaching down to Jacob. Beloved, that's what set the Christian faith apart. Our God reaches out to us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Here, God reveals a bridge between heaven and earth, a stairwell, and the angels coming up and down, and the Lord himself is on top of that stairwell. Listen, I believe with all my heart, God wants us to experience his presence. But you cannot experience the presence of God without the cross. Why? Because the cross is the only stairway to heaven. The cross is the only bridge to heaven. The cross is the only highway to heaven. The Babylonians wanted to reach to God, but God is the one who reaches out to us. The Bible said no one seeks after God because God is the one who seeks after us. God is the one who always reaching out to us. God is the one who always wants to bless us. God is the one who always trying to pursue us if we just stop long enough so he can catch up with us. Problem is, all of these blessings can only happen when we stop our frantic efforts. And that's why the Bible said, be still and know that I am what? Be still and know that I'm God. In Jacob's case, God waited until all of his scheming, all of his maneuvering, all of his plans and tricks stopped. Until all of his pursuing of his ambitions, until all of the self-centeredness began to fade in the background, and he's all alone with God. What did God do? He gives Jacob a glorious vision. A glorious vision. And when Jacob wakes up from this vision, he couldn't help but conclude. Verse 17, Genesis 28. How awesome is this place? This is no other than the house of God. This is the gateway to heaven. And then he calls the place, like I told you, Beth House, El, God, the house of God. He builds an altar just like his grandfather before him, Abraham, built an altar many years earlier. Beloved, listen to me. This vision is nothing less than a vision of Jesus 2,000 years before his incarnation. Can I get a witness? This vision of Jesus, it was the bridge to heaven. What a privilege for Jacob to see a vision of Jesus 2,000 years before Jesus is incarnated. Just like his father, his grandfather Abraham. And that's why Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And then he said to them, he said, Abraham saw my day. Can you believe that? Yes, he had a vision of Jesus before he came. And that's when they got mad, they want to kill him. You see, that's a privilege that God has given to him in the midst of his brokenness, in the midst of his pain, in the midst of his confusion, in the midst of his loneliness. Not only that, but he received the affirmation of the continuous blessing that God gave originally to Abraham. What was it? That the Messiah will be born through his line. Beloved, when God blessed Abraham, God blessed him because of his descendant. In the book of Galatians, it says the seed in the singular, not seeds in the plural. And that the seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be born through Jacob's descendant. In fact, in John's gospel, you find a man by the name of Andrew. He's Peter's brother. Andrew might not have been a great evangelist. He did not evangelize and tell people everywhere about Jesus. But you know what he was gifted in doing? Bringing people to Jesus. Andrew went to a Jewish man who was very Jewish, who followed in the tradition of Israel or Jacob. And his name is Nathanael. He said, Nathanael, I'm so excited because we found the Messiah, the one that all of the Old Testament has been prophesying is coming. He's here. Nathanael said, where'd he come from? Who's his family? Who is he? How is he born? What is his ethnicity? He said, come and see. I can't answer your question, but he was born in Nazareth. Oh, Nazareth. I mean, they looked down their noses on Nazareth. Man, I mean, that was, it was a stinking little town. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Are you kidding me? The Messiah? Yeah. Come and see. Come and see. And what did Jesus do when he came in? He knew that this is a man, a Jew of a very Jew who's absolutely followed in the tradition of Jacob or Israel, because Jacob and Israel are the same person. And then he said to him, he said, you are a Jew in whom there is no guile. Nathanael kind of looked, he said, well, how do you know this? He said, well, before Andrew called you actually to come here, I saw you under the tree. And Nathanael became a believer. What is Jesus saying to Nathanael? I am the fulfillment of Jacob's vision. When Jacob saw the Lord on top of that ladder, he saw me. And I'm the fulfillment of that dream. Rejoice in your Bethel. Secondly, respond to your Bethel. Respond to your Bethel experience. Beloved, I know there are so many people who waste their Bethel experience. They really do. They waste the times of brokenness. They waste their times of waiting for God. But Jacob responded to that vision and provision. How? By taking concrete steps of expressing gratitude to God. Listen carefully. Salvation by faith alone does something very significant. Eviscerates human pride. Paul said, we were dead in sin and trespasses. Jacob said, not only I'm so overwhelmed by God's grace, I'm overwhelmed by God's revelation, I'm going to do something tangible. I'm going to give back 10% of everything he places in my hands. Now, I want you to remember this. This was 400 years or thereabout before the law of Moses was given, the tithe. 400 years. Grace was always, always the biblical teaching. Now, here's something I don't want you to miss. Don't miss this. Jacob is going to give something. Hello? Jacob. He's going to give something. Jacob, who had spent all his life being a taker. Jacob, who had been a getter. All of his life, he has been characterized by scheming and receiving and manipulating. All of his life, he's been characterized by selfish ambitions. But now, he's beginning to be transformed by the power of the grace of God. Here in Bethel, he responds to that grace of God by being a giver. Listen, when I hear people say, oh, tithing, that belongs to the Old Testament, it's the Old Covenant. I said, now, wait a minute. Even if it is, are we supposed to give less under grace than they did under the law? Think about that. Beloved friends, generous giving is in response to the generosity of God. Generous giving is in response to the grace of God. Generous giving is in response, not a legal requirement, but is a gratitude to the grace of God. Listen carefully. When the Bible says God has a soft spot, I know your Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Literally, it means he has a soft spot because God loves all his children. He even loved the stingy. You know, he does. He loves all his children the same, and you're not going to change that. He loves the stingy, loves the generous. He loves us all equally. But he does have a smile on his face when a generous giver name comes up in heaven. He has a very soft spot toward them. Why? Because they are imitating him. He's the giver. He's the giver of all time. Rejoice in your Bethel. Respond to your Bethel. Remember and return and learn from your Bethel. Here's a fact of history. Jacob's Bethel experience did not transform him into a super-duper spiritual man overnight. Did you get that? It began the process. Because we're going to see throughout the series of messages, he keeps going back to the same old territories. In fact, the word sanctification is a big word theologians use, but all it means is daily process, daily becoming like Christ. I pray that I am more like Christ this year than I was last year. And that last year, I was more like Christ than the year before. It's a process, Christ-likeness. You and I daily often face all sorts of temptations. You and I often find ourselves in the same old territories that we thought we left a long time ago. You and I found ourselves drifting into doubt and discouragement and despondency. You and I find ourselves in a place of fear and apprehension. You and I find ourselves often in a place of uncertainty and unsure which way to go. Beloved, listen to me. Those are the times when we need to return to our past Bethels. Those are the times when we must return to our past experiences with God. Those are the times where we have to go back, where we have encountered the living God, where we've experienced His mercy, we've experienced fresh grace, and we've experienced fresh love. Those are the times and the places that we need to go to in our minds and in our hearts that we've seen Him work on our behalf. These are the places and the times where we've experienced past blessings. Those are the times and the places where we have seen God move mountains on our behalf. Those are the times and the places where we have seen God heard the cries of our hearts. Those are the times and the places where our memorial stones stand. Whether you are experiencing brokenness and pain, whether you're experiencing it now in your life, this moment, whether you're about to enter into it, or whether you just came out of it, you and I must remind ourselves over and over and over and over and over again, the God who met us in our past Bethel is going to meet me again. The God who forgave me in the past will forgive me again. The God who blessed me in the past in Bethel, He will bless me again. The God who touched me back then will touch me again. The God who gave me dreams and visions in the past is going to confirm these dreams and visions again. And so rejoice, respond, and remember.
You can partner with Dr. Yusuf in his vital work around the world by becoming a Frontline Mission Partner. As a Frontline Mission Partner, your monthly gifts will help Dr. Yusuf expand Leading the Way's outreach through every form of media, equip believers to impact their communities for Christ, as well as reach the unsaved and unreached around the world. Brand new Frontline Mission Partners will receive special ministry benefits, including the On the Front Lines photo booklet, as well as exclusive ministry updates, and a 20% discount on all resources at ltw.org. In addition, for a limited time only, new partners will receive a complimentary copy of Dr. Michael Yusuf's popular book, Life-Changing Prayers. Become a Frontline Mission Partner today by committing to give financially each month. And you'll be joining with Dr. Yusuf as he proclaims the gospel all over the globe. Sign up today at ltw.org/frontline.
My name is Tony Delicati. I was born in northeastern Pennsylvania, as was my wife, Mari. We relocated to Orlando, Florida in 1996 upon being married. Always very loving towards one another. Had a wonderful marriage. Suddenly in March, my wife was very sick, flu-like symptoms, which wasn't very uncommon. It became very progressive until about 3 weeks later, she was diagnosed with acute leukemia. For the next 16 months, she endured quite horrific, invasive treatments until eventually dying from acute leukemia in my arms. She never complained. She always smiled. I never understood where she had her strength. And then after she passed away, I started reading through some of the things she was reading through, and I spoke with our mutual friend, Jeff. He suggested that I listen to Michael Youssef's Leading the Way online, and it's been my source of daily nourishment from the Lord. And I'm grateful for Dr. Youssef, who has introduced me to the Lord Jesus and continues to share the message rather than focus on himself. I've learned firsthand that Christ is everything. He is an absolute blessing that could shape your life, shape your family relationships, and lead your family through the most difficult of times that you could ever imagine, and seeking opportunities to be a good steward of what he provides to us. I consider multiple ministries and selected Leading the Way based upon its uncompromised truth, based upon the passion that Dr. Youssef has to share the gospel. Dr. Youssef and Leading the Way make Christ available to the far regions of the world through both handheld devices, Kingdom satellite television networks, and that is an absolute blessing and gift. That is the ministry, Leading the Way, that the Lord has led me to be a part of.
After the death of his wife, Tony was broken, but God entered in, and now he is living a transformed life for Christ. Through satellite, the internet, mobile apps, and more, Leading the Way is reaching the lost and unchurched like Tony in every corner of the world. But we can't do it without your partnership. Will you consider a generous gift today to this crucial ministry? Visit us online at ltw.org.
You know, this is the most unusual title of any book that I've ever written. If God is in control, why is my life such a mess? I know I've said that in my own life in the past, and I'm sure some of you have said that too. Get this book. It's going to help you understand how God works.
It's human to have questions. Why are we here? What is our purpose in life? Why does suffering exist? If God is so good, why do bad things happen? Have you found yourself asking those questions? When tragedy strikes and good people are beaten down, we are tempted to wonder if God really is in control. In his book, If God is in Control, Why Is My Life Such a Mess?, Dr. Youssef explains God's sovereignty. No matter how wicked or dangerous or victorious the world around us may seem, in the midst of the struggles and challenges that we all face, be encouraged with this practical and enlightening book and gain a better understanding of God's compassion for the spiritually exhausted. For your gift of any amount, Leading the Way will send you a copy of If God is in Control, Why is My Life Such a Mess? Visit us online today at ltw.org. Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth, Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef thanks you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.